About 2,500 years ago, under the authority of Cyrus the Great, the first colony of Jews left to come back to Judah in order to restore Jerusalem. It took them about 20 years to rebuild the temple, but the walls and the gates remained in disrepair. About 63 years after the temple was rebuilt, Nehemiah was commissioned to take a number of Jews back into Jerusalem to rebuild the walls and to restore the gates to a condition that would be pleasing to God. Nehemiah chose 15 steps in order to organize that troop of Jews into a working force that accomplished great things. We have examined that plan of Nehemiah and made application to the Lord's church. And we feel that the principles set forth by God in this plan of growth not only were effective 2,500 years ago, but are equally effective today, for they come from the same source. Last week, we began a two-part series concerning those 15 steps, and we showed that, first of all, Nehemiah cared. If you heard in chapter 1 that Brother Mark Thompson read at the outset of our lesson, just how much Nehemiah cared, and he responded to the news of the people that reported just how terrible the condition of Jerusalem was. And we suggest to you that until a congregation cares about growth, growth will not happen. It is not something that is just genetic within the makeup of the Lord's church. In fact, a congregation of the Lord's people will be destroyed by Satan unless those that make up that congregation care about growth and go about following a set forth plan. Dovetailed into that, we saw that growth must be planned. Nehemiah did not just go into Jerusalem and see all of these stones and gates and let the people go where they would. He surveyed the area, and he made a plan that would accomplish a purpose. And we at the Monte Vista Congregation of the Lord's Church must plan the work and work the plan. The elders spend a great deal of time in communicating via various methods with people that make up the church, and they develop a plan whereby they can not only measure the activity of the congregation, but keep that plan on track so that goals, noble goals, can be accomplished. Next Sunday, Lord willing, the plan, the goals for 2012 will be presented after the sermon. And then again in the afternoon will be reviewed in a men's meeting so that we can all be on the same page, so that our energies and our activities can bear the greatest fruit in our labors at this place. We saw last week where the men of Nehemiah that were building the wall were men of prayer, and we suggested that the leaders of the congregation at Monte Vista and the Church of Christ today must be men of prayer. That's where the wisdom comes from. That's where the strength of leadership comes from, is given freely by God. But not until men, leaders of the Lord's church, access the throne of grace in order to get God's help. We saw last week where we must encourage one another, that many are quick to criticize, but few are considerate and supportive of every good work. Also, we must not let criticism stop us. We have seen in the past years at this place and have heard of other places where criticism, both from within the body of Christ and from without the body of Christ, dampen the spirits of the workers and cause great harm to the growth. And we will not allow that to happen here. We will encourage one another to the point where the criticism is evaluated and we learn from it what we need to become better and recognize and label that which comes from Satan for what it is and not allow it to stop us. We will use every member, just as every member of the people of Nehemiah were used in the third chapter of that great book in order to build the wall. Because when everybody builds, there are few that are left to tear down. We will not quit when others refuse to work. We saw where the Tekoites, under the tutelage of Nehemiah, some of their nobles, some of their big shots, would not do their work. And rather than letting that attitude create a domino effect within the people of God, the people did their own work, those that were willing to do that which God wanted, and then picked up the slack of those that were unwilling to work. We will not be a domino kind of driven congregation which reacts to those who won't work by stopping work ourselves. We will just pick up the extra load for as long as we can, for as much effort as we have, and God will be pleased with that effort. We will not be a congregation that goes looking for a fight. If you have your Bible, turn to Nehemiah, the 4th chapter, verse 7 and 8. And also, I would like to read verse 16 through 18. Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, and the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored, the gaps were beginning to be closed, that they became very angry, and all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. Verse 16. So it was from that time on that half of my servants worked at construction while the other half held the spears, the shields, the bows, wore armor. The leaders were behind all of the house of Judah. Those who built on the wall and those who carried burdens loaded themselves so that with one hand they worked at construction and with the other held a weapon. Nehemiah came in order to build, not to fight. But he didn't back down from a fight. He was ready to protect God's people and God's work. He didn't look for a fight, and he didn't run from one. The enemies of Nehemiah wanted them to stop building and to fight. We will find, I think, as long as humanity is in existence, that there are certain people, members of congregations, that are not happy unless they're stirring up trouble. And we need for this congregation to have an attitude when those people try to sow discord and stop our building effort to remember what our focus is. Our focus is Matthew 28, to take the gospel into all of the world. Will we fight to remain doctrinally pure? Absolutely. But it will not stop our focus in taking Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. With one hand, we will hold the spear, and the other, we will do our job. In John, the 21st chapter, verse 19 beginning, this he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." That's Jesus speaking to Peter. Then Peter responded, turning around, he saw the disciple whom Jesus loved, that was John, saw him following, who had also leaned on his breast at the supper, and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "But Lord, what about this man?" And Jesus said to him, "If I will that he refrain or remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me." I would like, if you would, for the purpose of our lesson, for the purpose of the thrust of this congregation in following the precepts set forth by Nehemiah, that you would highlight or underline the words, "If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me." Then this saying went out among the brethren that the disciple would not die. Yet Jesus didn't say to him that he would not die, but "If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you?" You know what Jesus told Peter? "Peter, mind your own business. What is it to you, my interaction with John? You do what your work is." We will have opportunity at this congregation continually, because the source will not leave. The source is the devil. We will have opportunity in this congregation with some kind of continuality to face those that try to get us to stop our work by being troublemakers. We understand that the Lord says to us, "What is that to you, Ken? You follow me." Paul goes in great lengths in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, to show that works without love is useless. We are not talking about adopting an attitude of harshness, developing an attitude of being uncaring. We are talking about, with love, addressing those things that need to be confronted head on, but at the same time, working in the vineyard of the Lord. We must remember that God fights for us. Nehemiah reminded the people of that very thing in chapter 4 and verse 20. God fights for us. Too many people think that it's up to us alone to enhance the borders of the kingdom that the Monte Vista Church of Christ is involved with. But God fights by our side. There are too many that walk by sight and not by faith. In 1 Samuel 17 and verse 47, the Bible says the battle is the Lord's. We will not be a people who restrict our plans to our perception of our capabilities. Our plans will be brought by the message of God, and we will believe that He is able to do all things abundantly, even exceedingly beyond that which we can imagine, because of His power. "I can do all things through Him who strengthens me." Philippians 4 and verse 13. There are people who sit here today that have become more mature, more effective spiritually than they ever thought they could. And they did that because of faith in the Master. We understand, as did Nehemiah, that growth takes hard work. Chapter 4 and verse 21 of Nehemiah. "So we labored in the work, and half of the men held the spears from daybreak until the stars appeared." They didn't relax until the job was done. We hear people say, "You sure are lucky to have a congregation that that continues to grow, that continues to become more spiritually active and more mature. And I would suggest to you that luck has nothing to do with it. Frankly, growth costs more than some are willing to pay. Jesus said in John 9 and verse 14, I must work the works of him that sent me. And we say that if work was good enough for the master, it's good enough for us. And we will work. We will not get careless. In chapter 4 and verse 23 of Nehemiah, so neither I, my brethren, my servants, nor the men of the guard who followed me took off our clothes, except that everyone took them off for washing. They were ready for action. We need to be a people that are ready for action. I read one time where there are some Christians that are like Sanka coffee. 97% of the active ingredients have been removed. And we will not become like that. Churches who are satisfied with the status quo never grow. God's army is an advancing army. It is not an army that holds its ground. It is an army that advances. When we read of the armor that God gives us as children of his to fight, there's no armor for the backside. There's armor for the front side, because God expects us to go forward with his message into the world. We must solve internal problems as they arrive. There was problems in the family in chapter 5 of Nehemiah that affected the work. Let me suggest to you that problems are not unusual. Further, problems are not even harmful unless they stop progress. That's when they become harmful. Problems will arise, and they need not to be ignored. Often trouble comes from the same source or from the same troublemakers. Solomon has a very good answer in line with that in Proverbs, the 22nd chapter and verse 10. He said, cast out the scoffer and the contention will leave. Along with handling problems, we must be a people that love the brethren. Nehemiah asked a stinging question in chapter 5 and verse 8. He said, will you sell your brethren? Nothing makes us more attractive to a lost world than a togetherness under the tutelage of Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 13, verse 34 and 35, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. We must not be a people that believe the worst about each other. When our love equals that of the Christians of the first century, our growth will equal that of the Christians of the first century. The message is the same. Humans make mistakes. And they will continue to make mistakes. And if we want forgiveness, we must be willing to offer forgiveness. We need to turn to each other, not on each other. We must not get bogged down in this place with trivia. Nehemiah's enemies tried unsuccessfully to get him to stop working because of trivial things. In the 6th chapter of Nehemiah, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem the Arab, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had rebuilt the wall, that there were no breaks left in it, though at that time I had not hung the doors in the gates, that Sanballat, Geshem, sent to me saying, come, let us get together in one of the villages on the plain of Ono. but they thought to do me harm. So I sent messengers to them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? But they sent me this message four times, and I answered them in the same manner. The elders of the Monte Vista congregation of the Lord's church are too busy for some things. They're too busy to argue over the color of the padding of the pews. They're too busy to spend time consoling people that are unhappy with the thermostat. The elders of the Monte Vista congregation are busy building. They will not be sidetracked by those of the army of Satan that wants to hold meetings instead of working. And I'm not talking about gospel meetings. There are very few people that have spend any time at all in management of business that don't realize that a lot of work never gets done because you're always in a meeting talking about the work that needs to get done. It's a non-productive environment. Nehemiah would not allow the enemies of the Jews to affect the building of the wall because of that. And the elders of this church will not allow the building of this congregation to be sidetracked because of that. The leaders of this congregation must be men of faith and courage. Fear stops productivity, and Satan knows it. In chapter 6 of Nehemiah, beginning in verse 10, the Bible says, afterward I came to the house of Shemaiah, the son of Delilah, the son of Methabeel, who was the secret informer, and he said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us close the doors of the temple, for they are coming to kill you. Indeed, at night they will come to kill you. And I said, should such a man as I flee? And who is there such as I who would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. Then I perceived that God had not sent him at all, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. For this reason he was hired, that I should be afraid and act that way in sin, so that they might have occasion for an evil report, that they might reproach me. When elders of the Lord's church stop their productivity because of fear, it's sinful. It's cowardly, and it's not according to the plan of God. Threats will arise. The court system will continue to degenerate and be a threat to those who stand for truth. The exercise of God-demanded discipline will put an eldership at times in harm's way from a standpoint of liability. An eldership that succumbs to that and changes the plans of God because of fear is an eldership not only not worthy of bearing the name of elders, but an eldership that has no sense of salvation. An eldership must be men of faith and courage, as was Nehemiah. So there then are the 15 qualities. The 15 management qualities of Nehemiah. And the story would not be complete if we did not see how it worked. Was this just theory? Or was it practical? Was it just textbook? Or did it actually work? Remember now the years that the wall had laid in disrepair. I want you to picture now the stones, not one upon the other, the gates that had been burned with fire, that were laying there and had been for 60 some years after the temple had been reconstructed. An atmosphere that was so densely in disrepair that Nehemiah couldn't even get the animal on which he rode to go through some sections, right? So the wall was finished on the 25th day of the month of Elul in 52 days. You know what? We couldn't do that wall today with laborers and a forklift in 52 days. In 52 days. And it happened when our enemies heard of it. And all the nations around us saw these things, that they were very disheartened in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was done by our God. And if we're faithful to the plan, and if we will put ourselves at the feet of Jesus Christ as a servant of His, and if we'll move Him to the top of our priorities and live that way, we will be perceived by those who know about us as children of God at the Monte Vista Church of Christ. Are you up to it? I believe you are. I believe we are. Pray about it. Pray for strength and courage and the remembering of these things past the time when they're fresh in your mind. When the temptations come, remember these things. We invite you to be a Christian, to give your life to Jesus Christ and to join the fighting troops of Jesus Christ, defending His name, defending His armor, living in such a way as to reap the reward. He gave His life that it might be possible. We invite you to come while we stand and sing.